Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Run From Zero podcast. If we haven't met, my name is Seth Gardner, and I serve as the music director here at the church. We got a great episode for you today. We're going to be talking with Cal Smith as we dig a little bit more into Gideon. We're going to talk about the cycle of grace. We're going to talk about some Pixar movies, and we're going to talk about running after Jesus. If you haven't watched yesterday's sermon, stop it right now. I'll wait for you. Welcome back. Can't wait for you to see this episode. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing, fellas?
Good.
Doing good.
Good, good, good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Got some good coffee, got some good friends, got some good conversation coming up. Can't wait. We're excited. If we haven't met, my name is Seth Gardner. I'm the music director here at the church. We've got Cal Smith, our East Location worship pastor, and we've got Tyler Matheson, our newest team member, our communications director. So for the people who may not know us very well, what is your guys' favorite Pixar movie?
Mm. Oh.
It's a good question. There's a lot to choose from there.
Yeah.
I always get a little mixed up because some of the really good ones like are just Disney and not Pixar as well.
Right.
I think this is right, but like Coco, right? Oh. Coco is Pixar as well? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great one.
It's one of the best movies that I never want to watch again.
Right. Once was good.
Yeah, you just like I sobbed through the entire like last 30 minutes of it. I was like, this, I can't handle this. It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
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 I feel like I'm in the camp of like animated cinema peaked in like 98 to like 2004.
Right.
I can't remember who did it, but I would probably say, again, I don't know if it's Pixar, but it'd be a toss-up between Prince of Egypt and Tarzan.
Oh, like, all right.
Bro, and those soundtracks, like, yeah. I'm not, like, a musical soundtrack guy, but those two soundtracks are A-list, dude.
Yes, 100%.
So, my wife and I are big, like, musicals people. There's, like, a live-action stage version of Prince of Egypt, and there's, like, a pro recording of it, like, a pro shot of it. Uh-huh. But it's not good.
Oh, no.
It's so unfortunate. No. It's not good.
You could have left that part out. Just let us know that it
just
exists.
Give me the hope.
And let us.
Well, my goal was to like make you aware of it and then make sure that you didn't have to go waste your time on it.
That would definitely ruin it for
me. It was good, but I have actually not watched the DreamWorks, like the animated one, since I was like very little. Because it came out in what, like 2000, somewhere in there?
Something like
that. I forget exactly when, but like I haven't watched it since then. But it's one of my wife's favorites.
Yeah.
And like, so the music is constantly playing in our house. And I just walk in and like, you just hear this big epic chorus.
Yeah. Deliver us.
Do-do-do-do.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And then Phil Collins.
Of course.
Yes. Like, enough said about Phil.
I have that one on vinyl.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, he also did Brother Bear, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't watched Brother Bear, so I need to see that.
Movie night?
Movie night. No, we didn't get yours.
So my favorite Pixar movie is Toy Story.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But the reason I ask about Pixar movies is because, Cal, you're talking about Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were speaking about Gideon, I couldn't help but draw some parallels between Gideon and the Midianites and how the Midianites would come at the harvest season, take all of their food and leave. And at one point, it even says that their numbers were like locusts. And all I could think about is this is very close to the plotline of A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
And I think Gideon in the wine press, he was threshing some wheat. But I think maybe he was also looking for some circus bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. To help fight.
Yeah.
It's him in the circus tent. The 300 warriors are all the circus clowns.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. As you were talking about, I was just cracking up. I'm like, dude, this is A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grasshoppers come and there's nobody to defend them. So they just feed them. They said that. I was.
Wait till we tell him that Lion King is just Hamlet.
What?
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Dude. Oh, that's so funny. Actually, yeah, at one point I asked AI, I was like, is A Bug's Life based off of Gideon? And AI was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, you're helpful.
Sounds about like the average AI.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I don't know. I would have made it up. Oh, it definitely is. Yeah.
Do you want it to be? Because then, yes, it is.
Gideon is actually about a bug's life.
Right. Yeah. Like, the story of Gideon was based on
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's just jump right in. Cal.
Yeah.
Were there certain elements or things in your sermon that you didn't quite get to that you want to dig into a little bit deeper? What are some things that didn't quite make it into the message?
Yeah, well, so when I was looking into this message, I was like, man, there are like, you could do a whole series on Gideon, right? You could do like one specific sermon on the wine press, something about the idols, something about the fleece story that I think we've all probably heard of a lot. But one thing that I kind of just felt in my heart was just, let's tell the whole story. We've talked a lot about this before, even just in the office. Like, when we read the entirety of the story, we have a viewpoint to each little detail. And so the unfortunate side is we can't dive into the details. I've only got 35 minutes and I'm pretty sure I went over yesterday. And I didn't even get to the whole story. And so, I didn't even touch on the ending of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, we see this battle take place, again, which is more just the Midianites fighting each other.
Yeah.
But we also see kind of the completion of the cycle where it's actually not great. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Israel falls back into what they've always done. We see, like, is it Judges chapter 8? Verse 22 through 35, just where this moment where Gideon makes an idol. Like, he tells all the soldiers, like, hey, give me parts of like the things that you've taken from the enemy. Like, give me like an earring or something. And he pulls it all together, and like scripture talks about it says an ephod, which again is a weird word in English. It's like, I've never spoken that word. I had to sound it out. but like this thing that he made, it wasn't just like a cool trophy.
Yeah.
It resembles it is a priestly like element. Yeah. That's like a worshipful item. And it scripture talks about that this now became kind of the downfall of Gideon, and it was a stumbling block for his whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says here, all Israel defiled themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family, mm-hmm. which is ironic considering one of the first things Gideon is told to do is go and tear down the altar and the idol that his dad had made.
Yeah.
And now he is doing the exact same thing. He's ended up basically where he started.
Yeah. Well,
and Gideon was given a new name that basically like gave homage to that, to say, you know,
Baal.
Yeah. Yeah. let Baal fend for himself, right? And now he is out here created this idol. Now it doesn't really say what this idol is too, right? Like I'm not but it just is another man-made thing that like people fell to worship that, which is just I think it speaks very much to the human condition, is we always want something to look to, right? And we can see that even at the end of the story, starting at 8:22 there in Judges. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you as well as your sons and your grandsons, for you delivered us from the power of Midian," right? Mm-hmm. So Israel was clamoring for a king to rule them.
Yes.
And Gideon, to his credit, said, no, God will rule you, right?
Yes.
But we see this represented throughout Israel over and over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's like the Jewish expectation of a conquering king, right? And we see that when Jesus comes too, right? A lot of the Jewish people didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah because he didn't fit their preconceived notion of somebody to come and break the physical bondage of Rome at that moment, right? Yeah. And conquer and rule over them in the way that they were expecting. It just goes to show that we always, I don't know why, it's human nature here at this point, but we're always looking to put something in the place of God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, again, it's the cycle that we see all throughout this entire book. Like, there's so many stories where, like the one right before this of Deborah, She's a judge, and you know, we see I think it's like for 40 years, like Israel serves the Lord and then they fall back. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what brings us into this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's also wild to me to think about too is like Gideon also knew a time when Midian wasn't there. Mm-hmm. It says for 7 years the Midianites were there, which means like I don't think Gideon was 7 years old when this happened.
David situation.
Be wild. but like he knows a time when Midian wasn't there and continuously coming. And so I'm partially interested, like what did that time look like? Was this a time period where they were serving God and did he see the fall? Or has he only ever known a time where they've been serving these other gods?
Yeah.
I wonder, because he talks about in Judges 6 when the angel first appears to him, and he says, the Lord is not with us. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, that might be a case for why he did know a moment where there was peace, because he feels that fall away as Midian has come in. I wonder if that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like last week, you know, David talked quite a bit about a Christophany.
Yeah.
Mm. And we have one here.
Yeah. Yep.
And we have Gideon talking to the pre-incarnate Jesus.
Yeah.
And he says, the Lord is not with us. And he's right there.
Bro, I'm in the room.
Right.
Oh, like.
But it, you know, when I first read through that passage, and it's like, yeah, he's talking to pre-incarnate Jesus, and he's still testing him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, wait here. Let me go get a sacrifice. Don't leave until I've brought you a sacrifice. And he waits, mm-hmm. and Gideon brings back the goat and the broth, and he touches it. And he immediately goes up in flames, and then he disappears instantly. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me, because when I read that, I'm like, holy cow, Gideon. How dense do you have to be to kind of go back and forth with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
But when I think openly and honestly about, like, my own life,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm that much different.
I'm Gideon.
Right. I think about how many times I've thought, man, if I could just talk with Jesus right now about this, all of my issues would be solved. But it's like, I don't know if that's true because of my own fears or doubts or insecurities or whatever I project onto him. And Gideon has a very human reaction of doubting, disbelief. You have to prove it. And then he does prove it. And he's like, holy cow, that's wild.
Yeah.
But then in, I think it's the next chapter, he demands more and more confirmations and tests. And it's like, man, how dense are you? But also, I'm probably at least that dense, if not more.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it shows the importance, too, of, like, know the voice of the Father.
Yes.
It's funny. Like, we all know. I have a higher pitch voice. I get loud when I get excited. But my wife has talked about, like, she walks into, like, the lobby at East, a fairly boomy room. But she knows if I'm in that room because she knows my voice.
Yeah.
And now, again, a lot of people can know that because I'm loud. But I think there's something there of, like, when you spend time pursuing God, you learn his voice.
Yes.
Multiple times, God shows up. Moses knows exactly who it is, mm-hmm. Because he knew the voice of God. Gideon didn't know the voice of God. That's why it's like the angel of the Lord says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And he's like,
yeah. Oh, you don't know me, right? My hero, that's not me, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's so important to, like, man, we press in and know the voice of God when he speaks. And the more sure you are of what is the voice of God and what isn't, then you'll be less doubtful, right?
Yeah.
Though, I do think, as we go through the story, it's less doubt, and I think it's a little bit more of, like, trying to get out of it.
Sure.
For sure.
But
I wanted to jump off of that. Like, it's wild that, like you mentioned, he didn't know the voice of God yet, like you both said, and he kept asking for more and more proof, more and more signs. He asked for not one, but two fleece-related signs, which is very funny to me.
Yep.
But not only that, he's gotten the two, like, signs, right, that he wanted, right? And he's got confidence. He's gotten, like, an army assembled. That army's been whittled down, right? And then he's still doubting God. He's still trying to chicken out of this.
Yeah.
And God tells him, okay, it's time for you to move. But if you're still afraid, go to the camp yourself with a servant. And it takes Gideon going to the camp and hearing the voice of his enemy saying that they're afraid and that there's been this prophetic dream almost over it. Why do we insist on listening to the voice of people more than the voice of God?
Yeah.
But God will still use that sometimes.
Yeah.
But we listen to the voice of people, even we don't really have enemies, right? Yeah. Like not flesh and blood enemies, right? People, right? We're all bought with the sacrifice of God, but we insist on hearing the voice of people and not the voice of God. Mm.
That's good, dude.
That's good.
Like, man, yeah. I mean, I relate with that.
Yeah,
I've had moments of that.
Yeah.
Do we trust people more than we trust God?
I mean, truthfully, probably.
Yeah.
Like, if we're 100% open and honest, you know, we can say, like,
mm-hmm.
We know who gives us value. We know our worth because of God's love for us.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times are we like, yeah, but like, but dot, dot, dot.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? We rely so much on the voices of other people that we have maybe confused the voice of God with the voices of other people.
Mm.
And, you know, Gideon here, once he hears that voice and he is brave, he takes it way too far. He's like, for God and Gideon.
Yeah.
For me.
So he puts himself at like the same level.
Yeah. At least it wasn't for Gideon and
that. Yeah, right. Yeah,
at least
true.
God was
he's like the sidekick. He's Robin. Yeah. He's Robin to Batman.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, and I think the stories are just so good because we talk about know your story. And now I do not have Jewish heritage, so this isn't like my bloodline, but as a Christian, I'm grafted into this family, and God says this is your story. And so I think it's so important that even in the book of Judges, again, there's some wild stuff in this book, like kind of like on both sides of the story, and it gets worse, dude.
Yeah.
Like we end with like the story of Samson, and it's like, that's a brutal story.
Yeah.
But again, this is where we can learn from it. But I think one of the things that I wish I could have gotten to a little bit more so was even, okay, we know this story, now what? And I hinted on it a little bit, but like one of my like big takeaways are, you know, what are the idols that we have that God's telling us to tear down? And so often, like, we want to shoot for the stars, and yeah, like I think that's good, but we want to neglect maybe what's going on in our own house. And what happens when we're out of our house is an outward flow of how we live our daily lives, right? And so I even go to thinking like, you know, I don't have like, we don't have like actual idols on our shelves. I mean, at least most of us probably don't. But
I don't know. Are you a sports fan?
No, unfortunately not. But like, yeah, what are the things that are like, I'm not worshiping Baal, but I've elevated to an idol position. Maybe it's sports. Again, maybe it's health. Like health is something that someone would say, like, that's a good thing to pursue. Mm-hmm. But have we made this higher than God? And is that something that's separating you from the love of God?
Right. Finances, yeah. like a relationship. These are good things, right? But we sometimes replace a relationship with God with the pursuit of finances, with the pursuit of a relationship.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to the point of replacing the need for God in some of those places, right? Yeah. If I can find the right person, then my identity is fulfilled. Or if I can make a certain dollar amount, then I have enough provision and I don't need to trust or wait on God.
Yeah, dude, like my, being real honest, like my like toxic trait that I have fought for the majority of my adult life is the idea of being self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. Like I am the person that's like, I do not like asking for help. I don't want to need anyone to like have to like step in. It's like I can do it myself. I can do this stuff. Shocker of, you know, the two back surgeries thing that comes downward from that. But like for me, that became an idol. And that's something too that like, again, we see these cycles. It's not like we tear down that idol and it's gone forever. It's something that daily we choose to make sure that that is not an idol today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we see this with Gideon. Like he tore down the idol, but the idol comes back because he didn't maintain that like, oh yeah, I trust God and not this idol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have the cycle of sin, right? That you have. I'm sure it's said in the intro here that if you haven't watched the sermon already, go back and do that. But the cycle of sin that you refer to there, you know, Israel serves the Lord, right? Israel falls into sin and idolatry. Israel is enslaved. We go through these same cycles, right? We go through these same seasons where we connect with God, right? Whether it's the first time we got saved or whether when we recommit our lives to Christ, right? And things are great right there when we're connected to the source.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we start to disconnect and find the things like self-sufficiency, right? The pursuit of other things outside of our relationship with Christ that we then fall into enslavement into these idols, right? And then Israel cries out to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
We get to that point where we're so desperate and broken, right? Or at least most of us have gotten to that point where we call out to God and say, I need you to be the center of my life. And every time God will come and meet you.
Yes.
There's not a point where he won't do that.
Yes.
And then we're delivered and then we're connected to the source.
Right.
And then we start maybe to replace him. Right. And we go through the same cycle of sin. Right.
We get comfortable.
We get comfortable. Yep. Absolutely. It's easy to cry out to God when you're desperate.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to cry out to God when you're comfortable.
Right.
Like one of my goals, man, I'm a 96 kid. 30s is coming. But like, as I get
older. He's young.
I know. I thought I'd be 30, man.
Don't even.
We had a deal.
Yeah. Friends reference for those of you who don't.
I forgot to do my stretches this morning. My back hurts a little bit.
But like, as I'm getting older, like one of my goals is like, man, I want to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Like that's the cycle of sin is a lack of consistency. And how, like, I mean, I grew up in youth group. It's like, how often did you like go to camp and you had like the camp high experience of like, God's awesome, let's go tell the world. And then you get back and you get into school and all that stuff. And then God kind of goes to the side. And then you go to a winter retreat or something. It's like, whoo, we're back on that mountain. And I'm not saying the mountains are bad. But as I'm getting older, I'm like, man, but I think there's value in the consistency of like not having to rely on the mountain, right?
There's almost as much danger in a mountain as there is in a valley.
Yeah.
Because if you're relying on that emotional high, that emotional thing, that's going to run out. You're going to become exhausted at some point.
I think there's a reason why God commands his people so often to remember.
Yeah.
Right? You experience the mountains and then you go to the valleys, and the valleys aren't inherently bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you can remember and you can point to, and when you have those mountaintop experiences, you can look at them with gratitude,
mm-hmm.
say, God, thank you so much for X, Y, Z. And in the valleys, you can remember you've provided before, you'll provide again. Mm-hmm. And the mountains of life and the valleys of life are always going to happen.
Yeah.
But the consistency in your mindset, the consistency of relying on God and of giving thanks to God and praying to God and crying out to God is what can shift those to maybe someday in the valleys, we can start thinking, what a gift to be in this valley.
Dude, I love it.
What a gift to be in this valley, that God might show his strength in this and give me another thing to remember his goodness in.
So I'm the least musical person at this table. And that's just factual, right? My job is not music at this point, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that I don't have an appreciation. One song that, you know, I think is probably in our repertoire, but it's a very popular song now. Do It Again, Elevation Worship, right? Great song. It's a great song, right? but it reminded me of how Gideon kept testing God, right? Specifically, it starts out talking about the walls of Jericho, which we just talked about last week. If you haven't watched that one, go watch that one too. Yeah. But walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you've never failed me yet, right? There's this callback to God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And as it goes on, great is your faithfulness, or your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. But we still test God, right? Because we still have these moments where we're chasing that mountaintop every time.
Yeah.
And that's just not sustainable. It's always the kids that are the most extreme. I was in youth ministry for quite a few years, and I've been at a bunch of summer camps, winter retreats, right? Like, I've been at a bunch of those things. It's always the kids who are so up and down that they have a great experience one night, right? They get the gospel presented to them, and it clicks for them.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, okay, I know it's midnight, but I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. every day and read my Bible. How sustainable is that?
Not at all.
Right? Right? There's got to be a sustainability when it comes to your relationship with Christ, right? You've got to find out where you're going to be able to connect, because God's there and he wants to connect, and he's going to connect with you in the way that, like, you allow him to, right? That's where that's going to come in. And so chasing that mountaintop is going to exhaust you more than it's going to be a sustainable. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
Well, and so we're trying to be Christ-like, right?
Yeah.
And this year we're talking about faithfulness. God is faithful. Where do we learn how to be faithful? It's not the mountaintop.
No.
It's easy to be faithful on the mountaintop. I don't need to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be faithful when we're in the valley.
Yeah.
That's where we learn that. And even going back to the what a gift, man, like the moments that I've been in the valleys, they're awful. They're hard. But I have grown thankful for them because it has wildly shaped my perspective of God and my trust in him. Because look, I know that I'm not in the valley forever.
Yeah.
We see Psalm 23 in our worship sets this past month. We've been really hammering that. And, you know, it's probably the psalm that everyone hears at a funeral. People are probably most familiar with it. The hard thing about it is, because we're most familiar, I think we don't observe what we actually know in that.
Yeah.
And I love how that psalm walks us through, like, God is there step by step as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. But man, I will be in the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, your goodness will pursue me all the days of my life, like, even in the valley.
Yeah.
I love that, man.
Yeah. One thing that I wanted to touch on that I think that you hit on a little bit and weren't able to dive into because just time restrictions and everything. I love how you brought up the parallels between Gideon and Moses.
Yeah.
Because both of them received a calling from God, like a miraculous calling from God.
Yeah.
And both of them had the same response of, me?
Yeah.
I think you're mistaken, right? Not me, surely, right?
No, this other guy.
With Gideon, right? with Gideon, it was, you know, I'm nobody, right? I'm not even like the best son my father has, right? Like, I'm nobody here, right? And Moses, like, he calls Moses to free his people. And Moses goes, well, I'm a wanted man. Like, I'm a murderer, right?
People are looking for me.
I can't speak well, right?
Yeah.
And there's a guy with a lisp that speaks to me, right? Yeah. It's just like, what if my voice doesn't represent the voice of Christ?
Mm.
But it does.
Yeah.
And I want to bring up this verse here. I wanted to read it directly out of my Bible because there is something very powerful about having your actual Bible. This is a Christian Standard Version, just in case anyone wants to look at it. Moses has said, like, I can't speak well. And this is the Lord's response. The Lord said to him, who placed a mouth on humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say.
Yeah.
God will not accept our fear as an excuse for calling.
Dude,
he always pulls the trump card.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the gold one, right? Man. But I just love that God said, who are you to tell me who made you what I can and cannot do through you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with Gideon. Is Gideon says, I'm just this little kid, right? I'm nobody here.
Yeah.
Why pick me? And God is glorified in our weakness, right? Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. This was Paul talking about his lifelong affliction. We don't know what it was, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I like to think like IBS or something. I don't know, maybe. Who knows? But he's... Like this is Paul saying, like, God's response to him saying, why use me because I'm weak? God said, my grace is sufficient. My power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul then, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me, so that I take pleasure in weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. When I am weak, and I am strong, right?
Yeah.
That is somebody who we don't have a New Testament without Paul,
yeah.
right? And this is somebody who's even in themselves who we view as one of the greatest Christians of all time, right? One of the fathers of the faith, mm-hmm. right? Is saying, why me, right?
Yeah.
I've got all these things wrong with me. He calls himself the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
But God chooses to work through our weakness to show his strength.
Hmm.
And that's evident in the story of Gideon. That's evident in the story of Moses. It's over and over.
Right.
It's evident in the story of David.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like David is the smallest. He wasn't even considered by his father when they knew that somebody, he was coming to anoint the future king from his yeah. father's family, right? He wasn't even considered.
Yeah. He was the last pick.
He was the last pick.
He
right?
wasn't even number two.
Wasn't even an option.
Mr. Yeah. Irrelevant yeah. itself, right?
Oh, yeah, that one other kid. Yeah, your son?
Yeah.
Oh, we have him out with the sheep right now. Yeah. He's not even like, yeah.
Well, I think it's, again, it goes back to, I think it's the importance of reading scripture like in entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Like so often we like to pick our favorite like yeah. little portions. And yes, when you're new to the faith, like I would say go right to the gospels. Like first thing you need to know who Jesus is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you've got a grasp on that, man, the entirety of this book, there's so many, Tim Mackey talks about hyperlinks. He's like, this thing hyperlinks to that. And mm-hmm. and exactly that. The there's a connection between Gideon and Moses. Again, I can't help but read when I see the locust, I think of Egypt and all the locusts that were part of that story. When I read the part of, you know, douse the offering, I think of Elijah. Mm-hmm. And there are so many moments. And when we read scripture in its entirety, like we also can, I think, get pieces out that we miss. Like, I think one of the biggest ones that people talk about is even like Jesus and the Last Supper and the Passover feast in Exodus. Like God tells the Israelites, like, I'm going to deliver you out of Exodus or out of Egypt, and you're going to slaughter a spotless lamb, and you're going to paint the blood on your doorpost, and the angel of death will pass over you. But further down the road, we see Jesus at the Last Supper. He is the spotless lamb. Mm-hmm. And the one that we use the phrase in Christianity a lot, like washed in the blood, and the judgment of sin and death goes over us. And it's no coincidence that in this moment when Jesus breaks the bread and says, this is my body, he is celebrating Passover.
Yeah.
And so we take note of, oh, that's and multiple times Jesus references back to the Old Testament. And we see these hyperlinks all throughout scripture. And so I don't know, for me, it's like that's the importance to read the book of Judges. And what we would deem is like the weird books of like maybe go to the prophets. And out of context, yeah, they don't make sense. But when we read the entirety of the book And I think there's so much power, like, going cover to cover. I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, jumping around if you're doing, like, the Bible in a year. But there's so much power doing cover to cover and then journaling it and taking notes of that.
And asking God, what are you teaching me through this?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff when you read it, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And the question should be, what are you trying to teach me in this story?
Yeah.
And when you can look at a book like Judges and see, well, this is actually, you know, pretty close to my own life and my own cycles. And we can look at it as the sin cycle. I remember as a kid learning about the sin cycle in Judges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really a story after story after story after story of the grace of God.
Yeah.
And you hit on that at the end of your sermon with the cycle of grace.
Yep. Yeah.
That every time his people cry out, he shows up and he saves them.
Yeah.
I think that there's a perfect verse in the book of Romans for that. Romans 5:8. It's one of the most popular verses for a reason, right?
Yep.
But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't take an act of contrition on our part. For Christ to offer that to us, right? His grace is bigger than we can comprehend. It's bigger than we can mess up, too.
I love that. Come on. Yeah.
His grace is just so much bigger than we can even wrap our heads around.
Yeah.
And then to tie it back to the point that you guys were just making, do you guys know any ASL at all? American Sign Language? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're just listening audio on this, just look it up. Yep. Just look this up. But do you guys know what Bible is in sign language for American Sign Language? Okay. All right. It's two signs put together, right? Okay. Right. Okay. This is Jesus.
Yep. Yeah.
And this is book. The Bible is Jesus' book.
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely apt because Jesus is present through Genesis all the way to the Revelation.
Yeah.
Outreach. Right?
Absolutely. Right. He is present throughout the entire thing and not even in Christophanies, right?
Oh, yeah.
But everything is leading to this Messiah moment. We have the Messiah moment in the Gospels, right? Where we get to see people interact physically with the Messiah.
Yeah.
And then he's gone, right? Right? Or at least, you know, perceived as gone there, right? And then from the rest of it is just pointing back to it, right? Yeah. Everything points back to it. It's all pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
That's good. Cal.
Hmm.
How does this play out? What does this mean for us, you know, today, tomorrow, this week, for the rest of our lives? What are some kind of key takeaways that we can maybe implement in our lives from Gideon's story and how it can change us going forward?
Yeah. Well, I think something we always get kind of maybe tripped up on is not everything that we read in scripture is God saying, do it. There are moments where scripture records what happens, and there are moments where scripture says, do this. And there are things that scripture records that scripture's like, specifically, don't do this. I think, again, going back to the practical, I think it's that daily reminder of God's grace, right? We have moments where we get down on ourselves and maybe we mess up and maybe we think like, I need to give God some time here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to let him cool off. It's like, no, that's a human thing right there. but it's that reminder of every time, if we find ourselves in this cycle, no, run back to the Father because he is there to meet you every single time. I think going back to the idols thing, I think you can sit down and take an assessment like, hey, is there something that is maybe you're struggling reading scripture or struggling spending time in prayer. Is there something that is actually hindering that? Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about how like some people will like send me something on Instagram. They're like, did you see it? And it's like, I haven't seen anything on Instagram in like 3 years. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not ignoring you. But like, I hit a point in my life where I realized social media was getting in the way of my prayer life. And I gave it up for Lent. Actually, we're in the season now. We started Lent. I gave it up for Lent and we got through Easter and I was like, you know what? I don't miss it. Yeah. And so that was something that I kind of got out of my life, and not a bad thing, but just something that got in the way. And I think it just, one, it takes some self-awareness, and we invite God to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, it's not like God says, go figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I think it takes sitting down, opening yourself up. Like, it takes a couple moments to clear your mind. Like, our minds are running 100 miles an hour. Give yourself 5 minutes to kind of just settle in and simply ask, Lord, would you reveal to me anything that could be getting in the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something in my life that I have elevated? Is it my job? Is it a certain relationship? Again, relationships are amazing.
Yeah. We're made to be in relationship.
Yeah. We see it in Gideon. Like, he had his guys with him all the time. But if that relationship is above God, like, it's not that you have to get rid of all relationships, but how do we reorder this? Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the easiest, not easiest, but one of the things that we can take a step in today, take 15 minutes. Like, and then if we're like, I don't have 15 minutes, well, maybe the time management, maybe that's the thing that's getting in the way.
Being busy is an idol.
Bro, yeah. It is. Yeah.
We love being busy.
Yeah.
How's it been?
Busy.
Oh, busy. Hey, how you doing?
Busy.
And we think it's a good thing. It's like, we say it and it's like, oh, good, you're busy. It's like, no. That's not a good thing, man.
If we're too busy to have a prayer life, how are we ministering to others?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we're too busy to, like, connect with God, we can't spread that to others, right? We're a cup, right? And it says that we are filled to be poured out.
Yeah.
And if we aren't pouring out, then we're filled for no reason. We're good. We're not good for anything at that point.
If you want to know what your priority is, look at your calendar. Mm. Like, even as simple as that. Like, I've talked about this before. Like, if scheduling is a struggle and, like, spending time in prayer is a struggle, like, put it on a calendar, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I put the important things on my calendar. Yeah. I saw Apple kind of, like, adds birthdays, and it's like, there's a friend of mine that has a birthday coming up in a couple weeks, and I was like, oh yeah, like, that's important, so that was on my calendar. And I think as simple as that. I think also, like, assessing who, even another part of the story that we haven't touched on at all, is like, who's going to battle with you? And I think that also, like, affects the priorities you make.
Yeah.
Like, if you're pulling together a bunch of people that are like, yeah, good, you're busy, let's keep that up, like, of course you're gonna strive for that. But you pull around people that are like, hey, let's prioritize prayer together, man, like, again, we're created for community, and that community can make us better or make us worse. And so it matters who is on the battlefield with you. And we sometimes don't like the battle terminology, but, man, like, when we talk about spiritual warfare, like, is your spirit wrestling with something? Mm. That's spiritual warfare. Like, even if it's time management.
I think having people with you is so key, because a lot of this, we think so much about, like my prayer life or my life reading scripture. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have to carve out X amount of time by myself with no distractions and nobody around me. But often that can also mean like, I don't need to invite my wife or my kid into this. I need to do this myself. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Bring them along.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what better example can I set for my kid than if I'm reading the Bible with her and I'm praying with her, and she's just invited into this journey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, something that I struggle with, like, that means I need help.
Yeah.
Right. I love that. Keep your eyes on me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think especially when it comes to that, do you have people with you that are eye locked on God?
Yeah.
Because it's got to be the right people. It talks about here. I don't remember if it says how big the Midianite army was, right?
Like locusts.
It's big. Right. Like, it's obviously, it's large.
Yeah.
Okay. And Gideon gets an army of, what, 32,000 together? And God says, no, those aren't the right guys. Like, or they're not all the right guys, right? Let's cut it down. So he sends home anyone who's afraid, right?
Yeah.
22,000 people leave.
Yeah.
10,000 left.
Yeah.
Gideon's like, it's getting a little sparse, but okay, all right, fine. And God says, no, they're not all the right guys, right? Let's cut it down a little bit more. And he does kind of a weird thing. You talk about it in the service, but take the guys who like drank water like a dog, right? And you go into the symbology there. I love the analogy you use talking about your dogs and everything. It's fantastic, right? You have to have the right people with you. And God cuts it down from 32,000, cuts it by nearly 32,000, right, to 300. And God says, yeah, I'll send an army of 300 against an army of locusts, right?
Yeah.
Because that is God being glorified
in
our weakness again, right? Just over and over again, right? And it's all about having the right people. So if you have one person in your life, they're the right person.
Yeah.
You're connected, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're neglecting. Like, he's still an Israelite. There's still a whole nation of Israel that is his family. It just doesn't necessarily mean he's going to battle with them.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could maybe... you could hear this and be like, okay, so we neglect everyone but like our circle. It's like, no, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
Like we still live on God's mission. Like, again, that's also another thing of like, we think it like it's our mission. No, we get to be a part of God's mission. There's still people that we are called to love and we are called to show the gospel to. And, and there are people we're called to do life with.
Yeah.
But there's a specific type of person that you're called to go to spiritual warfare with.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus has sets the best example of this, right?
Yeah, let's go.
He speaks to many, many, many people.
Yeah.
And he has many people following him.
Mm-hmm.
The Gospels make it clear. There's almost always lots of people with him.
Yeah.
And in those big groups of people, Jesus has his 12. Mm-hmm. And in his 12, he has his 3.
Yeah.
And in his 3, he has his 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each of those little circles is a little bit more intimate of a relationship.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to have 50 people. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have 100 people. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, in your big circles. Yeah. But when it comes to people speaking into your life, people that you trust more than yourself. Mm-hmm. I've had phases in my life where it's like, all right, I don't know which way is up from down. But I've got one person that I trust more than anything. Whatever he says, I will do.
Yeah.
And it completely changed the trajectory of my life for the better. And I think Jesus' example of that is one that we can all and should all follow.
Discipleship, bro.
Come on.
Let's go.
Come on.
So I think that Jesus really models that. Every time I've been in like a small group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been more than 12. Or around 12, right? It's not a hard and fast rule, but you lose that intimacy, right? It becomes a lot more about who's extroverted and who's not.
Yep.
In a
group of 12, you're going to get those introverts talking, right? Yep. You're going to get that relationship from people who might not feel comfortable outside of those groups, right? Then when you have, it's modeled, it says in Ecclesiastes, right? 4:12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. The cord of three strands is not quickly broken, right? And that God models that by that intimate three people, right?
Yeah.
Is a cord of three strands is not easily broken. I think that it's very important to have two, three guys, two, three gals, right? Depending on your sex, whatever, is around you that help you stay strong. And I think that those are great examples set in scripture by Jesus that we can kind of emulate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cal, I pinned our text thread on my phone. we've taken the step into the inner circle.
Mm.
It took this long?
Hey. Better late than never.
Let's go, man.
Oh, man. A lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyle, any closing thoughts?
Man, let's pursue Jesus together, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, simple as that.
Yeah, I think we often overcomplicate things, and it's like, no. Just chase after Jesus.
Make time.
Yeah.
Prioritize him.
Mm.
I think it's easy to be like, well, I'll start waking up earlier, like you were talking,
for sure.
The high schoolers. I'm going to wake up at 4 a.m., read my Bible for 2 hours. And, you know, maybe for some people that works. For me, it works best if I find time during my day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I carve out time in there, because I know I'm inconsistent with waking up. I meant to wake up an hour earlier today than I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Uh-huh. You know, make it a priority.
Yeah, she wakes up at different times, and sometimes I have an hour, sometimes I got 20 minutes.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Make Jesus a priority. Chase after him.
Everyone drives.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, such an easy moment to even dedicate of, like, I'm just not going to listen to music. I'm going to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's easy to make the choice to, like, take that as a time of worship as well.
Yeah.
Because we all have 100%. Music that we like. Music is a great thing, right? It talks about in Scripture, like God is glorified in music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But taking that moment to be intentional, to praise, to lift up the name of God, sets it in our heart as a priority there.
Yeah.
Right. And that's very important for us to be able to do, is to express out loud what those priorities are.
Yeah.
And so taking some time as worship, we all have the Bible app on our phones. We can all have it start like playing Scripture,
yeah,
like as we're driving. Don't be on your phones while you're driving. Like, I shouldn't have to say that, right? But you,
I'm reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I knew someone that stresses me out.
Right. But, like, you can absolutely just turn on, like get on your Bible app. They all will play, like, playback audio for you, right?
Yeah.
Or there's, like, narrated versions of the Bible out there. I have a narrated version of the Bible by James Earl Jones on my phone, right? Like, you've got Darth Vader or Mufasa, like reading Scripture to you. What a better way to, like, get your head around
something. Yes.
I listened to the dramatized version, which has, like, music, and you can hear birds in the background.
Yeah.
It's, like, all different voices. I'm like, oh, this is fun.
I bet the story of Gideon would be wild dramatized. Oh, yeah. Got swords clashing in the background. The people drinking water. The slurping would be a lot to handle. I don't know if that'd be great or not. But
sorry to all of our listeners who just heard Cal do that.
Yeah, I think we just got canceled. It's weird. Seven episodes is all we made.
Man, we made it this far. Seth and I have done a video together that it was like 4 years ago that got lost.
Yeah. This was a big moment for us.
I got a text one day that was just like, hey, you love coffee? I'm like, yeah. Like, come make coffee. We're going to shoot a video. They didn't tell me I had to talk. And so then they're just like, just talk.
More or less banter, they said.
We banter all the time, but, like, when you tell me to, it's stressful.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Exactly. So they lost it.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for doing this, fellas.
Yeah.
Let's all chase after Jesus. Let's all make time for him. Let's prioritize him.
Tear down those idols.
Tear down all these idols.
Yeah. Tear them down.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of Run From Zero. Let's make it a priority this week to just chase after Jesus with everything that we have.